invite you to please join me in a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, as we gather this evening, we thank you for this day. Not only is this a day that you have made, and thus we rejoice, and your mercies and blessings are new each morning as you promise, Lord, it's also the first day of spring, a season where the death of winter comes back to life, a season where we're reminded of your victorious resurrection, of you coming back to life to save us from all of our sins, and to grant to us the promise of eternal life. Lord, be with us now as we hear your word. Open our hearts and our minds to hear and to understand and take it to heart. And Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth, the meditation of all of our hearts, would be pleasing to you, my Lord, my rock, and my redeemer. Amen. The Bible is a unique and strange book. It's a book that's like no other book. It's very different from other sacred books found in other religions. For you see, the Bible contains God's thoughts, which are strange, and yet at the same time, they are marvelous spiritual teachings. Among them are different paradoxes. A paradox simply is defined as a seemingly self-contradictory declaration, but is in fact true. To some people, such biblical paradoxes may seem somewhat ridiculous, and yet such are the very words of God, which have been written down for our admonition and our learning. This whole series that we're preaching of Behold the Man is full of such paradoxes. A God who hungers, a God exposed, a God with a mother, a God beaten, and then tonight, a God who thirsts. I want to begin this evening with the woman at the well, and I'm sure you remember her. She's a Samaritan woman. She's an outsider. She's one that the Jews consider to be a half-breed, and one who was expected to have no interactions whatsoever with any Jews. Here she is at the well in the middle of the day, the heat of the day, drawing water, and she finds Jesus there. Jesus says to her, "Give me a drink." And she responded not with giving Jesus water, but with asking Jesus a question. "How is it that you, a Jew, asks for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria?" This little back and forth, it makes sense considering the relationship that Jews and Samaritans have with one another. But what happens next is one of the most peculiar responses that Jesus gives. In John 4, he says, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." And then later he goes on to say, "Everyone who drinks of this water, of the water of that well, will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water that I give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." You get what he says? Water that wells up to eternal life and quenches an eternal thirst. Sign me up right away, because I'm thirsty. Later, Jesus in John 7 would tell a crowd, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." If you're thirsty, Jesus says, come to him. That is beautiful, and it's very inviting, and it's a bit odd as well. And here comes a great paradox. Still later, our gospel reading. The one who promised living water so that man might never be thirsty again now hangs on a cross, naked, deserted, and dying. And with nearly his last breath, Jesus cries out, "I thirst." Behold the well of living water, the fount of water welling up to eternal life. Behold the one who created the waters that flow, the rivers that run, the oceans that surge, the water tables that nourish, and springs that bubble. Behold the God who made 6 stone jars of water to be the choicest vintage of wine the wedding guests in Cana had ever experienced in their life. Behold the man. He's thirsty. He's dried up. He's parched, and his tongue is sticking to the roof of his mouth like Velcro. Behold the man who is craving for even a sip of sour wine from a sponge. Behold the man who thirsts. And ever since that moment when Jesus was first born into this world as true man, the second person of the Trinity now needs to drink water in order to survive. If this God does not drink, he will die. Think about that for a moment. The creator of water now relies on this element of creation to make it day to day to day. His tongue says like sandpaper in his blistered dry cotton mouth. He wants a drink. And you, what about you? What are you thirsty for? For what does your body ache and groan for? Probably not a drink of water. That'd be too ordinary. That'd be too boring. Maybe you thirst for money, for riches, for power, for influence, for success, for popularity, for comfort, or maybe security. Maybe you thirst for more respect, better salary, and less stress. You, like Jesus, are thirsty. But you, unlike Jesus, are thirsty for self. But here's the thing. Jesus thirsts for you. God has taken on human flesh, flesh that hungers, flesh that is thirsty, flesh that needs sustenance, flesh that can be beaten, abused, mocked, nailed to a cross and hung there until it thirsts for life. But Jesus is not thirsting so that he can live. He's thirsting because he can die. He's thirsting because he has flesh. He has flesh because he desires to save mankind. He desires to save you. Behold the man who thirsts. Behold the paradoxes of Scripture. Behold the man who totally empties himself so that you may be filled. Behold the man who is cut off so that you may be grafted into him. Behold the man who thirsts so that you can be satisfied. Behold the man who is parched and dried up so that you might find in him a river of life. Behold a great paradox. Behold the man who thirsts as he dies so that you might never die. So that you might never die an eternal death which separates you from God. In him, in Jesus, your thirst, your desires, your needs are totally and completely quenched. Every thirst that we experience is a hearkening back to the days of perfection of the Garden of Eden. Every thirst that we experience is also a hearkening forward to the new creation, to the new Eden, to the renewed heavens and earth in the river of life. Friends, your thirsts, even when they seem really shallow and distorted, they are really thirsts for this wellspring. Excuse me. This river which flows and waters the whole earth anew. Your thirst is good. It's a reminder of your Creator's provision in the garden, an indication of a drink which is yet to come. Your thirst is a reminder to remain in Christ alone, to remain in the one who alone offers water, which will truly quench every single thirst. The Christian life, your life, my life included, it's lived in the midst of a great paradox. We live in this now and not yet world. As you and I wander in this wilderness of sin and darkness, found between the Garden of Eden and the new Eden yet to come, your thirst is still good. In the way in which hunger sharpens your desires for the bread of life, for the body of Christ, your thirst causes your taste buds to desire something more than water or wine or temporary fulfillment. Thirst disciplines you to desire a heavenly drink. And until that day when you can literally quench your thirst with the eternal water of life, there is a river which flows freely from God's holy altar, which can soothe your parched throat. The blood of Christ, who bled for you on the altar of the cross, who thirsted for your fulfillment, who died so that you might live. Hear from God's altar, there flows a river which gives you a foretaste of an eternal thirst quenching, a stream which can truly fulfill your deepest thirst. Dear friends in Christ, behold a great paradox. Behold the man whose blood still flows today for you. Behold the man who was dried up with thirst so that your dry lips can be satisfied with a drink of Christ's blood for a true drink. Behold the man who thirsted. Behold the man who bids you to come to him and to thirst no more. Behold the man who is the headstream of a new drink, the river of life, the water for which you deeply and intensely thirst for. Friends, behold the man who is dried up with thirst so that you might be quenched with a water that flows to eternal life. Friends, behold the man. Behold the God who thirsts for your salvation. Amen.